Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Afternoon, everyone. Jesus, our Lord, called the 12. He lists them by name in Matthew 10. And we are still in Matthew 10, and now he promises them that they will be persecuted by their own people at the synagogues and also by pagan governors in their courts. And he tells them again at the Last Supper, "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." Our Lord is very explicit. Brother will deliver brother to death, the father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated for my name's sake, but those who endure will be saved. I always think of the martyrs, of course, and sometimes we place the martyrs like many centuries ago, but they're very recent. But then there's the list of the female martyrs in Eucharistic prayer number one. You might be familiar with them. Felicity, Perpetua, Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia, the girls. They're all martyrs before the Peace of Constantine in 311. And maybe, I think, one or two were married. And the youngest was Agnes. She was 12. Why do you kill a 12-year-old? But the Romans despised and hated them, not just because they wouldn't pinch the dust, the incense, to Jupiter, because they were bad citizens, because they wouldn't do that. Not just because of that, but also because they were pure. And they wanted nothing to do with the lifestyle of ancient Rome. They did not want that at all. They didn't want that. They had a new life in this Jesus, this Lord, their Savior, and they had this way of life, and they did not want to be attacked for that. But yet they willingly gave up their lives for the sake of the relationship with Jesus Christ. And they die as martyrs, and we remember them forever right there. They were strong. Felicity Perpetua. Perpetua is of the gentry class with money, and Felicity is her slave. And the two of them are arrested together. And while they're in confines waiting to be killed, they evangelize the guards. And one guard converted. And then they were sent out into the amphitheater in North Africa in Carthage, and they were being killed, wild animals, and they have to finish them off, and so the soldier has to come over with a sword, and he can't do it because he's looking at Perpetua. He can't do it, and she grabs a sword and puts it to her throat and says, "Go ahead." That's a strong woman. That's faith in Jesus Christ that dies out of love for him in purity so as not to be violated in the perverse world in which they lived. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he becomes like the teacher, for the slave that he becomes like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, or Baal-zebal, how much more those of his household? That is an ancient god in Cana, pagan Cana. All right, you can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 1. And so this is the ancient god for human sacrifice, and so the Jews always, Israelites always considered those gods to be demonic. So when Jesus says, if the master of the house is Beelzebul, then those who serve that, they are doomed. So all those gods that are from the pagan world and the ones that still exist now, if you're worshiping something else other or someone else other than Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, then you are engaged in demonic activity. As we may have heard a few decades ago, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord. But you're going to have to serve somebody. That was from the prophet Bob Dylan. But it's the truth, right? It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord. But you're going to have to serve somebody, and that's the truth. We all serve somebody. All of us. To love our Lord is to serve Him. And the Lord tests the just, and He knows the mind and heart. The Holy Spirit always provides, and we rely on Him to proclaim the gospel. The pure in heart shall see God. And this vision makes a person a servant of the Lord. When the eye is sound, the body will be filled with light. That which we take in, if it's sound, if it's of God, will be pure and will have wisdom. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be in darkness. And if the light in you is darkness, how great will the darkness be? Matthew 6. So you gotta serve someone. And the persecution is real today. If our Lord Jesus suffered, then we cannot think that we will not suffer. It's impossible. Enlightened by the Holy Spirit, a Christian lives differently. To live means your morality, how you live. Morality is an action based on who you are, what you profess to be, and what you believe in. That's morality. And for us as Catholics, that includes sexual morality. Life in Christ purifies and protects the relationship between people, between a man and a woman in marriage, between parents and children, between brothers and sisters, in the workplace, with neighbors. When all of that is thrown away, when God and the order of nature and order of existence and human creation is gone, then morality, how a person lives, is darkened or destroyed. Now, today, anyone can do anything. And that's the world in which we live. Or contraception, to abortion, to IVF. You can do anything. You can do anything today. If you fertilize too many eggs, you have to make a decision how many you want to destroy. IVF. It's just the way it is. It's just a commonplace conversation. It's a decision that has to be made. And that's technology. And that's where we are. So if a person can do anything with the opposite sex, then anyone can do anything with anyone at any time. And there'll be suffering. And the suffering is real. And the brokenness is unbelievable. God made the world, the order of creation. He made the natural law. But we turned from Him. And that's why we have Romans 5:12. Through one man sin entered the world and for all who sinned. And then through one man salvation exists for all persons, Romans 5. And yet, despite this failure, this destruction, this exists, people still yearn to be fulfilled. They do. Every person wants to be fulfilled, and they will reach out for anything to get fulfillment. What is life? What is death? Who am I? Who are we? What are we doing? The questions that float around in many homilies that I give in a funeral. There's a lot of lost and broken people out there. Jesus, who is God from God, light from light, offers Himself as sacrificial love. And He fulfills the law and the prophets. We know that. And He brings redemption to us and to the chaos and to the mess that we are. We will lose friends. And you will lose family members. And you'll lose classmates. And you'll lose work companions. But Jesus Christ is victorious. Fear no one. I have called you. He calls the 12. He tells them, you're going to suffer. Then he says, fear no one. Like, did I sign up for this? Think about that. What team leader, what Zig Ziglar, what priming the pump kind of a motivational speaker in the United States of America ever does that? You're going to be worth it. You're great. You're wonderful. Good things are coming your way. Prime that pump. You never know how successful you'll be. God's going to bless you. That's America. But it's not the gospel at all. It just isn't. Fear no one. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna, which means hell. To serve the world, the flesh, and the devil is to serve that which passes away. And you know it passes away. Like when the movie star pops up on your internet screen, you know what I'm talking about? And she was real popular in the 1950s, and then look at her now. If you don't, I mean, people get old. Some of you know that. We live in a passing world, and we know that we are made for more. Those who cling to our Lord Jesus and live the sacramental life will live differently. And though they will suffer for living Catholic Christian morality, they will see clearly and they will walk with a wisdom and in a love that forms and saves us. And that's where we live within. And in that there is no fear, because Christ is victorious. He has conquered the world. And he's given us a new way of life through his sacrificial love, which is not utilitarian. It doesn't use, it doesn't abuse, it doesn't get rid of. And if we've done that, you repent. And you go to the Lord and seek his love and walk in that vision again.